When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
The Volume.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. The Cowboys are 7-point favorites against the Packers this weekend, and I'm excited to see how they manage to mess it up.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code Jenkins. New customers can bet just $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code Jenkins. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/football for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Thursday, March 7th, and we've got a ton of stuff to talk about today. We're going to talk about Russell Wilson's come up. We're going to talk about Jamal Crawford and AAU parents. Is Zion Williamson lying about doing the dunk contest?
We're all lying.
Miami canceling spring break. And then I've got a question for the fellas at the end of the show. As always, Jenkins and Jones hosted by LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubba's?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good one.
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike.
Motherfucking Mike.
You always pick the weirdest episodes to do it seven times. It's like the timings. It's always when I'm not expecting you to do it. Produced as always by the lovely, talented Jackson Saffron. John, does anything in your life give you the creative happiness that catching me off guard with an extra motherfucking mic gives you?
No, bro. You see, I'm like, dude, my feet are tapping under the desk. That's how excited I was about that whole little shit there.
My feet would be tapping, gentlemen, if I were one Russell Wilson, who has been cut by the Denver Broncos.
What a segue.
Is going to get.
Give it the love it deserves. Sheesh.
We're looking at almost $40 million in guaranteed money to not play football for the Denver Broncos, who are so sick of Russell Wilson, they are going to take an $85 million dead salary cap hit. Is Russell Wilson cool now, bro? Like, I don't know how to contextualize this man's career at this point.
I still wouldn't call him cool. He's not there yet.
You know, I do think that if anything, like I said, he's a cautionary tale, bro. Like that company man shit, it only lasts for so long. They're not going to be as loyal to you as you are to them. And granted, the loyalty they're not returning him here is giving him $85 million to go away, which is a great fucking deal, right? But you know, he's someone who thought that cozying up to the suits would protect him, would give him job security, would ensure that he would be there for a long term. And he's finding out the hard way. That's just not the, I don't even want to call it the hard way. It's 85 fucking million. He's getting paid. But he's finding out on a public stage that I'm sure is a bit embarrassing to him, even with that 85 million that he's walking away with, that nothing good comes of that. Right. But with that said, is he cool? No. He would have been cool if he like turned his ways and revolted against the suits and they had enough of him. They just got tired of him. You were too much of a company man for the company men, bro. Like that's basically why they're getting you out of there. So there's nothing cool about Russell in this split that's happening.
What type of human being would you have to be embarrassed about making $85 million of free money? You know what I mean? Like a little embarrassed? I couldn't imagine. Bro, you could, I don't think there's anything that could happen where I leave with $85 million of money that I didn't earn and be embarrassed about it, bro. You feel me?
You ain't seen the little PR campaign he's going on with the Brandon Marshall interview and the little workout clip he posted on Twitter. It stings a little bit to him, it feels like. He dropped the clip of him working out and the subtitle, well, the caption was, married to the game. And you know the jab there was, I'm a married family man. I'm someone who honors my word, unlike the Denver Broncos, right? Like, you know that's the subtext there. So he's for sure stung a little
bit.
I'm
saying, how weird of a person do you have to be? You have to be
a Russell Wilson. John, he, in response to getting paid $39 million this upcoming year to not play quarterback for the Broncos, he posted, tough times don't last, tough people do, bro.
Ain't shit tough about this, bro, dog.
I think he's not in reality. The dude just has forgotten what reality is.
He's Mr. There's Unlimited, no, bro.
Bro, when he said, Broncos, let's ride after the loss. Definitely, I think that was the, that's where it crossed over, where he's completely in the upside down, nigga. You know what I mean? Because there's no way you can post that after getting that much free money. Tough times? Like, you don't really understand reality. And it's particularly this time.
I will say that I do believe he's not putting on a front. Like, I do, like what you said, I do believe this is actually who he is, to the extent that he would trade that $39 million for, like, a first-round playoff exit. Like, I just do think that's, he's, like, just that much of a sicko that, like, he would rather lose his hand than have people talk about him with dead salary cap hit. You know what I mean?
The economy is failing. And this nigga's talking about tough times, making $47 million in a year, not doing shit. That's insanity. Like, that's an insane thing to say and expect people to be, like, motivated by that. Like, is he, you know what I mean? Am I tripping?
No, I agree with you.
Russell Wilson's a weird dude, bro.
Yeah, he's a weird dude, but I agree with you.
Like, we'll get through this. I'm like, what the fuck? You don't want to get through this. This is what you want to get to. This isn't the two. This isn't the through. This is a two, nigga. You won. Retire. You know what I'm saying? The fuck? Crazy. I would. Anyway.
All right. We've been staying out of the AAU conversation because I find it to be sort of the same, like, racially coded bullshit back and forth constantly. I don't think that means that the criticism of AAU culture is not without merit, or that there are not things that should be reformed about the way we about our youth basketball culture. But Jamal Crawford, I thought, got to the heart of it and sort of brought up something I want to talk about. It's been something we've reported on a lot at the 562. We had two coaches quit mid-season this year in high school because parents were, like, going crazy on them after games and following them to the bus and shit like that. So they quit in the middle of the season. But this was Jamal Crawford's take on the AAU culture. He said, being in the gym over these last few months in national games, watching, listening, and talking to, hearing, there is a lot wrong with AAU. But the parents are near the top of the list. It's sickening. The delusion that exists is crazy. If we're always making excuses for our children's behavior where it has to be someone else's fault, and we're not teaching them accountability, we're setting them up to fail. If we're always criticizing a coach or program who's given their own time to benefit your child's development and well-being, and that's not enough, you should coach them to give them all you want them to have. As parents, we have to be better. Looking back when I played AAU, The thing I take the most pride in is my mom or dad never complained to one coach I ever played for from 8 years old on. They said, you want all the things you say you want, figure it out and go get better. Looking back, I wear that with pride. I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I do think that's a very accurate reflection of where U Sports are right now. And that is where all these athletes are coming out of. And that is also where the human beings we're going to share the country and the planet with as we get older are coming from. So how'd y'all feel about those comments? And I don't know. I guess we can't really ask for a fix on how people are raising their kids. But what did you think of, you know, what he had to say?
I think AAU gets blamed for a lot of shit that isn't unique to AAU, right? Like, you know, for the terrible sports parents, that's something that has existed forever in everything, in Little League and peewee football, you know, of course, in basketball. So I don't think that's unique to AAU, but I can for sure see him, like, just because it's not unique to AAU doesn't mean that you can't single it out and discuss it, right? Like, I'm not at all accusing, like, Jamal Crawford of, you know, grasping for straws. So he's got a valid point.
Yeah.
I do think that a lot of the AAU criticism is something where you can see the ulterior mode. It's where it's not necessarily rooted in truth. Like I said, it's not. I feel like one of the running themes is AAU is teaching these kids how to play dumb basketball. And granted, AAU is not the most organized basketball, right? Like, a lot of times it's just 5 guys out there, just 10 guys out there just hooping, right? For sure. But to say that that is, like, impacting the game, when this is we have never seen basketball played at a smarter, more higher level in the NBA than in this era, right? So that is a non-issue that people are talking about. I will say that I do think the thing that deserves some discussion is the wear and tear that it puts on these kids' bodies. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember Baxter Holmes wrote an incredible article on all the AAU basketball that Zion played before Zion even played an NBA game. Like, look, man, I think that we need to be concerned about, kids who are putting their body through this much basketball at such a young age before they get to the NBA. And we all know Zion's injury history there, right? I do think that a lot of the criticisms against AAU are dog whistles, are not founded in truth.
Agreed.
Right.
We totally agree on that for sure.
But it is for sure something that deserves some, there are aspects of it that deserve criticism and discussion for sure.
I think the thing about AAU basketball is that I played AAU baseball and basketball. AAU basketball is particularly unorganized. You know what I'm saying? Like, AAU basketball doesn't feel like regular season basketball playing for high school. You know what I mean? AAU baseball felt like just another baseball season. It was all very similar. You know what I mean? And I think with it being more important now than in high school, I think that adds more pressure to it. So you see this chaotic, it's been chaotic since I was a kid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Naturally chaotic, you know, basketball, you know, leagues. And then, you know, the amount of pressure that's put on this because they don't care what you did for your high school team. You feel me? I think that makes, that adds to the pressures and shit. Doesn't make any excuses, you know, for like how parents are acting. But yeah. I think that's why people are saying AAU basketball in particular, because it's you know, it's like a clusterfuck, you know what I'm saying? More than any other leagues. In my opinion, in my experiences.
I think the reason it gets a particular spotlight is it's got the stars at a younger, at a closer age to when they get famous, right? Like, you could be playing AAU basketball at 18 and then be in the NBA 18 months after that. No one who's playing AAU baseball at 18 is going to be in the major leagues 18 months later.
You'll see him in a major league 5 years from now, you know what I'm saying? Right. Or know who their name, you know what I'm saying, generally,
and,
you know what I mean?
And then, basketball also has the international influence coming into the pro league to where, you know, it's been a couple of years since an American player won MVP, right? And so I think you're starting to see I personally am a pro scholastic sports person. Like, I think kids should go to a regular high school, make regular friends, have to go to class and have a well-rounded life. That's not what happens in Europe though, right? Like, what we have, if you look through the NCAA, especially at the mid-major level, there's so many European players in every sport because they don't have college sports in that way. Right.
They snatched those kids out of middle school. Like, Lucas was a pro since he was 14, you know?
Straight up. And so, you know, so when I look at, like, the IMG approach, there are places in America that are starting to do that. I hate that shit personally, because if you don't end up going pro in your sport, it's like, what do you have at that point? You know what I mean? Like, I never think you should push all your chips in when kids are 12 years old, 13 years old, something like that. Like, let them develop a life. If maybe it turns out they don't like football. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then, hey, they learn what they might like because they had actual classes or whatever. Here's what I would say on the parents, Tyler. Crazy parents have always existed. I for sure am like very familiar with them because of my job. I do think that social media has changed the incentives and the intensity of the craziness of the parents. Because everything is, I mean, in the way that it has for your average person, everything's comparative. Everything is sort of like zero sum. I have to get to this like today. It's removed the idea of the bigger picture for not for everyone, obviously. I mean, there's, you know, most sports parents are totally fine. But I do think that like you are more likely to see a parent that's encouraging a bad mindset now than you were a couple years ago, even, which is really sad because I was one of those.
Really?
Yes.
That's like the only place dog, we had two basketball coaches in that way. You know what I'm saying?
Two basketball coaches quit in the middle of the season this year. They ended up as national news stories. But the stories they're talking about, I hear from every coach right now. It's just like, it's crazy. And the social media, I do really think the social media is the biggest change to it, is everyone wants, like, well, why aren't they playing? And then, like, why aren't they in the highlight? Like, why don't I have a highlight of my kid? All this other stuff. Because you're comparing your kid to other people instead of thinking about their journey and development. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's my two cents.
No. That makes a ton of sense. But also, like, I think that's unfortunate because, like, if a lot of these kids that are popping that are going to the league, bro, your kid's not that, bro. You know what I'm saying? We've seen a ton of people. Maybe it's this. Because we have seen people. No, we have seen people who didn't have NBA quality kids or even college level athletes who have still gained popularity through AAU and are making money off it now through social and YouTube. So they're still professional basketball players without being even college level quality players. So maybe there's that part in it as well where, like, you know, this attention is more important than the kid actually being, you know, an NBA or college level player. You know what I'm saying?
Let me give you an insane example of this. There's an eighth grade quarterback at IMG Academy. He's from the city. He's very good. He's going to have a great career. He's a great kid. Family's great. IMG is throwing him a pro day in eighth grade.
Jesus Christ.
So what is that for? Is that for an NFL scout, or is that for the school can say that they're doing this event? The family gets to write. Like, I don't think that stuff is healthy. I mean, I really don't. And I do think it's more and more. We get requests all the time. Can you post my commitment video for high school? No, we're not going to do that. Just go to high school and then we'll post your commitment video for college. Like,
kids are getting paid big bucks in high school.
Correct.
For having popping social media platforms. So throwing him a pro day gains that attention. And like, I remember Mikey before he kind of like, you know, went left.
But he's a great example of why you should let the brain fully develop.
Exactly. Right. He was getting $10,000 a post in 10th grade.
Yeah.
Brands were paying him $10,000 for a fucking post. You feel me? Like, he's driving I think in 11th grade, he had a fucking Lamborghini truck. Lamborghini SUV. Like, oh, we're not made to be able to move like that. And it's not like his parents had bread and were giving him money. That was his money. He was paying his parents type shit. You feel me? So brains are, you said the brains are developed to move in ways that are needed in those situations.
Right. That's it. But I think you hit it on the head, man. Like, we've just professionalized sports at a younger and a younger age, which is why you have, I mean, across the country, you have officiating crises where, like, you can't get officials to do it because the parents are so abusive to the officials that you have like big money tournaments and shit that are like, I don't know if we can get the refs, you know, to come to this event. So Mikey's a great example. I don't want to like put too much on just that one kid, obviously with his circumstances, but the three of us talk all the time about the miracle that is LeBron James escaping the attention and expectations and pressure that were put on him at 18 years old. And for some reason, societally, everyone is so interested in chasing the money that what everyone decided was, let's make every decent basketball player do that now. Like, you know what I mean? And I don't think it's a good idea. I love that players are getting paid. I think it's great they're getting paid. But pursuing that has squeezed other things. I do believe it squeezed other things out that are more important for the average high school athlete. You know what I mean?
When I learned that AAU was more important than high school, I began to worry.
You were like, nervous about that.
Yeah, like this ain't going to end up the way we want to. It's going the way we all thought. You feel me?
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that,
CJ. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
All right. Zion Williamson said that he would do the dunk contest next year if he's named an all-star. Is he full of shit? Is he serious? Do you think this is just a way for him to try and get the NBA to lean on people to tip the scales on making him an all-star next year?
Yeah, that is a clever ploy by young Zion there. I think he's being honest. I think he believes it. I mean, I think Zion is a dude who does not take himself too seriously. Like, you see this motherfucker shows up to the pressers in Naruto shirts and shit. He doesn't give a fuck, right? and he's someone who has gotten his fair share of jokes on social media. We've never seen like a meltdown or blow up from him. You know what I mean? So I think that Zion is a dude who doesn't take himself, you know, so seriously that he's worrying about going out there and not having a good performance. Because for one, I think he would fucking kill that shit. He's an incredible dunker. I'm going to hold Zion to it. I think he's telling the truth. I think he probably will be out there next All-Star break. You know, all things permitted. Health, of course, is the main thing that we're concerned about here.
Prayers up.
There hasn't been, There hasn't been a dunker that I cared about that said they were going to get into the dunk contest and actually did it in 12 million fucking years, bro. So I'm not going to, I don't believe it. I hope I'm wrong. And I agree with you completely, Tyler, as far as like he doesn't care and all that shit. But it just hasn't happened. So I'll believe it when I see it.
All right.
I think the good part about the social media era, though, is that if he gets named an all-star reserve, presumably next year, and he tries to back out of it.
You just put him straight on the reserves like that, dog?
Will be crushing down on him. Yeah, yes. He's going to be a reserve if he's an all-star. The public pressure will be crushing down on him in such a way that I hope, like we've said, let's bring back shame. If he tries to back out of this, we are shaming that man into doing the dunk contest.
I mean, Shane, though, like, let's even with the AAU conversation, bring back Shane. I think shame has an important place in society. And it's not, you know, like, you know, we need a little bit more shame.
It's a spice. You can't go too heavy on it.
Right.
But you can't take it all the way out either.
We've gone too far taking it all the way out. You know what I mean? We got to inject a little bit of shame back in just to keep everybody aligned. You know what I mean?
All right.
Don't you have no shame? Nigga, that shit hit, nigga. Yeah. White people have one with that. You have no shame? Nigga, like, I have shame. You know what I mean? There's shame here. Nigga, like, bro. God damn. We need a little shame.
All right. Is there a Jenkins and Jones jinx? We talked about the Thunder and the Celtics. We gave them their own segments on the last pod. I believe the clips even got socialed. The Thunder proceeded to lose to the Lakers by 700 points. And then the Celtics let Dean Wade absolutely dismember them last night, outscored them 20 to 17 points in the fourth quarter to break their win streak. Jason Tatum was doing the Charlie Brown voice in the press conference after the game. You know what I mean? It's like, really interesting call. I don't know why they did that. His voice goes down to like 0.1 decibel after they lose, man. What do we think? Is it did? Do we get to claim some credit for this? I would be more than happy to.
The good old Jenkins and Jones jinx. But the thing with the Lakers and the Thunder, Lakers have had their number all fucking season, right? Like every time they've played, and it's just very unique. Like, you know, it comes back to them being a very talented young squad, and Lakers being a bunch of old heads who you know have been scrambling this season. But they will beat the shit out of a young team that still, you know, needs some experience under their belt. So, you know, and as far as the Celtics, this is just what they do, bro. Like, yeah, you know, this is just what they do. They're going to have that inexplicable loss to snap, what, their 11-game winning streak. I'm going to, like, hold off all judgment until the playoffs. But this postseason, bro, if the Celtics underperform this postseason, we're going to have some serious discussions about that squad, bro.
This is a must-win championship year for the Celtics.
Feels like
it does.
Feel like at least
the finals. No, does it not? I mean, dead serious. You're the one finals, by a healthy margin.
At least the finals in a good showing against Denver if Denver makes it there, right? Like, I don't think anyone will hold it against them if they lose to the Nuggets.
But in terms of what they do with the
Mike's
roster,
like, I will.
I mean, I'll hold everything against the Celtics. No. But seriously, look, they're going to be the one seed by a healthy margin. They made roster moves to optimize what they saw as the core of this era for them. So if they don't win with that, I do feel like that's a bit of a moment for consideration.
They'll be known as the team, like the closest equivalent I have to that is like the nigga with the big dick that can't fuck.
God
like,
damn.
Like, bro, he packed him, but he do not know what to do with that motherfucker. You ain't had homegirls tell you that shit? You know what I mean? Not me in particular, but I'm just saying, bro, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, so I was fucking with old boy and he sitting there, but he ain't, you know, that's what they are, bro. Like you said, you talked about it before, Mike, you said they constantly are tripping over their dick. And that's what it feels like with the Celtics. And that's what we'll know them for if they just, you know, have the team they have and can't fucking, you know what I'm saying, finish the job.
All right. We didn't talk last episode about Chris Mortensen passing, but I just wanted to acknowledge, always sad, obviously, when people pass away. I love finding out.
Sorry. Going from tripping over dicks to talking about this, that was. But you had to do it. It was the next on the list.
Yeah, it was it, next on the list. I mean, you know, and I can't do the next tough topic ass. Before this tough topic. Ass. The next topic would be worse to do before
tough,
this.
Tough ass. We're sorry, Mike.
What was the toe tapping one I did? Let's go back to that. But I just always like finding out. I wish we found out people were good people more often while they were alive and not after they passed. But I don't know if y'all saw Tashaun Reed's tweet about Chris Mortensen. First of all, 98 unread text messages for Tashaun Reed, not to brag. But he tweeted this text message he got from Chris Mortensen. He said, just blind text, young man, this is Chris Mortensen. Just wanted to congratulate you on winning the Therese Paylor Award. It's special. He was special. That makes you special now. God bless you and live a great life. -CM. That's an amazing fucking text dude, message, man. Bro.
Yeah. And we've heard so many stories, you know, from so many you know, people in the football journalism space about how, you know, when they were starting off, when they were just getting their legs underneath them, that Chris Mortensen always was the one reaching out, like, hey, great job here if you need anything, right? Like, I think Mina said that he reached out to her. And you know, Adam Schefter said, you know, I'm not here without him, right? Like, Chris Mortensen is like the OG scoop guy. Yeah. He's just, you know, he's just a figure from a very special time to people our age, our generation, who kind of fell in love with football, where you know, he was on that panel with Boom and Tom Jackson. And it was just a glorious time, you know, in regards to not only the football product that was being put on the fields, but also like the journalism, the way it was covered. Granted, it's some archaic things like the whole jacked up clip that is kind of like, you know, we'll never go back to that ever again. But, you know, it's just he's just like a foundational figure during a very, very special time in a lot of our lives as sports fans.
Yeah, I think he was Twitter before we had Twitter. Yeah. Like, when they did that cut to Mort on ESPN, like, on, you were like, oh shit. Mm-hmm. Like, so that was the original tweet notifications.
Yeah. And the thing about Mort was he wasn't into the gossipy side of the scoop. If anything, he was into the X's and O's side of it, right? Like, if he told you that such and such team was out there looking for, you know, an edge rushing, you know, offensive linebacker, he'd explain how they fit into his scheme, why they were targeting him and things like that, right? Like, he was someone who would sprinkle in some football knowledge, some football expertise in his scoops. He was just, yes, he was the perfect scoop man, you know, just the standard right there, bro.
For sure. All right, let's talk about, John, you tell me if you agree this would have been a harder segue into Chris Mortensen passing away. Let's talk about Miami canceling spring break.
Yeah, I agree. Sheesh!
I don't know if y'all saw this, but the Miami Beach is going to do everything. They've had 2 or 3 years in a row of like big fights and violence and crazy shit going on during spring break on the beach. So they've announced they're going to do everything they can to try and stop spring break. I love that the lead of the AP story about this was Miami Beach is trying to break up with spring break, but it's not yet clear whether spring break will take the hint. But they're talking about bringing 45 state law enforcement officers onto the beach, curfews, bag searches at the beach, early beach closures, DUI checkpoints, and arrests for drug possession and violence. And as I think John said, business owners not real happy.
Tyler said that.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm curious. So someone tweeted, that's how you know this generation of kids is the wildest generation of kids ever, that Miami is trying to cancel spring break.
Yeah. When Miami of all places, like, all right, let's pump the brakes on the hedonism a bit here, right? Like, bro, what have y'all done? But you know, the whole thing is, I think it's very possible that they can make it a terrible experience. They're going to have to really dig in the trenches, right? Because the kids just aren't going to say, oh, Miami said not to come there, let's not come there. No, those kids are going to go there, but they're just going to have to make that experience very shitty and make kids not want to come back. And if you bring 45 extra law enforcement people who are just going to be on South Beach, that sounds like the approach that probably will do it.
I mean, dog, like, sobriety tests, bag searches, dog. It sounds like all the white folks is being treated like niggas now. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. They did. I'm certain they probably did at Virginia Beach when there was events there. They did it at Freaknik, Black Bike Week in South Carolina. You know what I'm saying? And it worked. I mean, Myrtle Beach. So I feel like it. I don't know how you're sitting there high as fuck and a cop is searching your fucking bag. You know what I mean? Like, you're supposed to be sober on during, you know, spring break. That's the opposite of why you need to go to spring. Yo, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, bro. They gonna go.
I went to Miami to watch Panama the sunrise. City. Yeah, I wanted to go catch the spring break sunrise.
Right. Also, like, going to Miami during spring break as a young person, like, how much money do you really have, bro? I took my ass to Panama City, bro. You know what I mean? We were staying 4 deep in a cheap-ass hotel. Head to foot, that motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I think doing that will for sure work. I've never seen that being done and it not work. They stayed at Freaknik. Freaknik stop, bro. Like, that nigga, like, that, as beautiful as that was.
Yeah.
Nigga said, ah, it's trouble. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, going back to what you said, springboarding off that, you know, on a serious note, I think this is just like a prime example. Because, you know, the precedent that, that they have here in Florida is stop and frisk law is legal there, right? This is just a prime example of, you know, you people will be for racist laws that are enacted because they think it's only going to affect brown and black people.
Right,
they will turn that shit on you if need be as well, right? Yep, so so now it's going to be a bunch of white kids who are going to have their constitutional rights violated because stop and frisk is some bullshit regardless of who it happens to. But the precedent has been set there. And Florida was all for it because they knew that that law would target brown and black people, right? So.
Yeah. Well, and that there's also civil rights groups in Florida who are saying that because there's more black people going to spring break in Miami, that's why, you know, that it is. Because Tyler, you said something before we started recording about that happening in Virginia, right?
Oh, for sure. Like if you're my age and grew up in Richmond, you know that Broad Street, which is the street that runs through downtown, Broad Street was more jumping than the clubs, dog. Like cruising up and down Broad Street, like there was this corner, this intersection on Broad Street and Belvedere, where there was a Hess gas station and a Rite Aid on the other side. That was the best spot to be in the city on a Friday or Saturday night. Fuck the club, right? You pull up there with your homies, you know, it's gonna be girls pulling up, you know, y'all gonna hop out, y'all gonna holler at each other, whatever, whatever. It was way better than the clubs, and cops just shut that shit down. You know, you close off streets, you make certain streets one way only, you do spot checks, you know, it's and then they crack it down. They make it to the point where you just realize it's not worth it to go out there because, you know, it's not going to be jumping. It's going to be a headache. Cops going to harass you. So, like I said, it you know, shutting down spring break for a whole city might sound like a huge endeavor, but it's really not, because the only thing you need to do is have a law enforcement force that is committed to being dickheads to people. That's it.
I want to argue that those type of situations where people are like the gas station that everybody go to, we had a Checkers that everybody pulled up at. Those situations are way better than any club, nigga. Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Like, I remember, like, we had this Texaco motherfuckers was posted up at all the time in high school. You know what I'm saying? In college, there was this Checkers that everybody would just post up at, kick it. You know what I mean? Those are way more fun. I don't know about danger. Shit would get the cracking sometimes, but, like, it felt like a way more enjoyable experience than going to some fucking club. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Shout out to cities that have that type of shit. I don't think big cities generally have that. I don't know if LA, they have a fucking gas station that people pull up to. People too bougie here. You know what I'm
saying? You don't have, not in LA proper, in all of the communities, cities around it. Like Long Beach has Horny Corner, which is a spot on the bay here that's like, I mean, if you go to Horny Corner on 4th of July, bro, it's 10,000 people.
Cracking.
And it's, you know, of every different background and ethnicity just on the beach, you know, whatever. But yeah, there was a study about that it was like young people aren't hanging out more, or hanging out as much. And there was a little argument on Twitter about, is this because of smartphones or is this because there is nowhere for them to hang out that does not cost money? You know what I mean?
Bro, like, also in the South, bro, you can hang out at Texaco, we posted up, and you can eat, nigga. Like, you can get a wing and fucking potato, you know, potato wedge, like, you know what I'm saying? A little three-wing potato wedge meal. You know what I'm saying? That motherfucker cracking at a gas station in the South got good food, you know what I'm saying? So, which is a different environment set up for, you know, different type of fun, but yeah.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying, tears, crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Good sleep should come naturally. And with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced natural wool, and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Leesa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Leesa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Leesa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit Leesa.com/iHeart. That's Leesa.com/iHeart.
All right, our last topic and a question I'm going to ask all three of you guys is this. For Shar and I's 40th birthday, we bought ourselves a record player. And yeah. I think I was talking on here about, you know, there's a lot of science behind this, but when you have too many options, your brain has no options. And so Shar and I were both people who cared deeply about music and about books. Our whole life has been a big part of our relationship. When we didn't have any money, the place we would go hang out was a bookstore. And we would call it a bookstore day. We would go for 3 hours, look at books, usually not have the money to buy anything, whatever. But music to me used to be, as we've discussed several times on this show, as y'all talked about with the Schoolboy Q album, it used to be the most special thing in my life, almost, it felt like, that you would be so excited to get a new CD. I'd go to Amoeba and look for an older CD, whatever. And then you would have that physical object. You would be excited about it. You would open it, look at the booklet. I would read all the whatever in there, all this other shit. Then we had an iPod, which was like the digital version of that. And I was obsessive about getting all my mix CDs and playlists on the iPod. So I had all that shit with me. That also felt very cool. Then the streaming services started, and I feel like I basically stopped listening to music.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, I still listen to stuff, but it's like, oh, I want to listen to that album and I would bring it out. There is no comparable browsing experience for me on streaming services that has anything like that special feeling or whatever. So you might still have it around a new release, but I was missing that. And so that's why we said, let's just start over. Like, let's just get a record player. Neither of us ever had one before. And like, I don't feel good listening to CDs now. That feels like, I don't know, like ex-girlfriend or so. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing there anymore. Like, that phased out when we were in college, basically. So we got a record player, and then we got the fun experience of picking out the first thing that we were going to buy and like bring home or whatever. We let the kids pick out an album too. They picked out a Miley Cyrus album because that's Maya's favorite, you know, person. So my question to you guys, I'll tell the story of what I did is, If you're in that situation, John, I know you already have a record player. Tyler, Jackson, you're cooler than me. You guys probably do too. But like, if you're starting a music collection over, what would your first thing be? Is it something that's sentimental, or is it something that you know you could listen to 100 times without getting tired of it? My pick was Dookie by Green Day, because that was the first CD that I bought. So that felt symbolic to me. It's also something like, I'm trying to get the kids to listen to a little bit more. You know, they listen to mostly like pop stuff because that's kind of what's around them. So I went with Dookie, and yeah, I listened to it. We've had it for a week. I've listened to the album 4 times. I don't know the last time I listened to an album 4 times in a week. It was probably when I was still on some kind of physical media. So, but anyway, what would your first record be if you're restarting over with physical media for the first time right now?
That's a good question. I remember during like my high school days, this was like my favorite music setup I ever had, where I had my mama got like a new stereo system. So she let me have her old stereo system. Big bulky motherfucker, right?
Yeah.
Some shit from the 80s. It was
that big ass knob, the volume and shit.
Right. The deck was big as fuck, and it was on my dresser. The deck was about, you know, 2 feet tall, about 3 feet wide, about fucking 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Had some house speakers that were like, you know, 3 feet tall. And you know, of course, you remember back then, if you had some speaker wire and you had some other speakers, you could plug that shit in and it would still play. And so I had like some little baby speakers that I like wrapped around my room. So I gave myself like surround sound. And I had a black light with the glow in the dark stars on the ceiling.
Oh, you going crazy,
bro? Yes, and I remember playing Aaliyah "One in a Million" for the first time with all that shit at its peak powers, with the black light on, with my stars glowing, and hearing that, just like to hear, for one, Aaliyah's "One in a Million," which is some shit we had never heard before, right? And crazy. To just hear that and hear the surround sound of the crickets and shit, I was like, bro, I don't know if music is ever going to feel any cooler than this to me. So you know, there's a part of me that says I would probably try to recapture that, but there's a part of me that also is like, I will never be able to recapture that, you know what I'm saying? And especially on vinyl, because the kind of appeal of Aaliyah's music was it was futuristic. It was you know, some shit that we had never quite heard before, and it still holds up today, like fucking 26 years later. It's still some shit that, you know, feels like it's from the future. So I mean, I would probably try to see if I could recapture that with Aaliyah, but I might just go with like D'Angelo's Voodoo, because I feel like,
bro, you know, that's mine.
Yeah. It, because D'Angelo's Voodoo, like, I think it's a perfect vinyl album, because I think the thing about the appeal of vinyl is, you know, that analog sound, it's so warm. It feels like you're in the room. It feels like the music hugs you, right? And Voodoo translated that way, even on CD, even in a digital media when it first dropped, because you know, he had recorded that at Ladyland, Jimi Hendrix's old studio, and he wanted it to sound like some shit from the 70s, right? He didn't want, you know, the acoustics drowned out and all those precautionary tales and all those precautions that were put in to kind of, you know, make music sound like it was from 2000 instead of 1976. He wanted that shit to sound like a Jimi Hendrix album as far as the little things. So Voodoo would probably be my pick for vinyl.
Voodoo's my favorite album of all time, so I would definitely choose Voodoo, but speaking of why you listen to that album multiple times, it could be nostalgia or whatever, but there's like science behind like our iPods, like, I mean, not iPods, like this digital music.
Yeah.
It sounds the exact same every time. And it's the first time where you listen to it and it just sounds the exact same every time. Even in CDs, there'd be little scratches, and vinyl, the scratches that pick up. So just like subconsciously, your brain picks it up. So it does sound a little different. And they say that's maybe why we don't listen to albums as much over and over and over, because it's, you know what I'm saying? Also,
we also used to listen to music in different places. You would listen to the same, you know, Aaliyah song on TV, on MTV. Yeah. You would listen to it on your CD. You would hear it in the car. So you would hear it in the right. Whereas now it's kind of like everyone's got their headphones.
And they're all different experiences too. The car is a very different experience than anywhere else listening to music. You know what I'm saying? Like what Tyler said about vinyl, 100% right. Like my favorite albums, I would buy a Schoolboy Q's album on vinyl, and I probably will if he offers it, because it does have a lot of like the tones that Tyler's talking about.
It's
like
a lot of stripped down soul and shit on there.
Exactly. Sure. So like I would definitely do that. But my favorite albums are jazz albums, bro. Like jazz sounds so good on vinyl. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, like what next album I think you should get to be a jazz album. But my first
The next album I'm getting for sure is that Cannonball Adderley album talk about all the time. That's my favorite album, probably of my 30s.
I think Kind of Blue, and it goes crazy. Yeah. Miles Davis Kind of Blue goes crazy.
Being at your house, by the way, was why that was what pushed me over the edge on like, you know what? We have the money to just rebuy some things that we like. You know what I mean? Yeah, like if it feels fun and exciting, but it was cool coming home with the kids. The kids had never seen an album insert before.
Right.
They'd never seen it before. They pulled it out and were like, the lyrics are on this. I was like, we used to have a fucking society,
the
bro.
Booklet, right. Also, speak to Tyler's fact that like talking about Aaliyah, you can't recreate it. I don't know if it's just because of the sound, but Aaliyah in the 90s was just a fucking... Bro, like it was
Mary was the queen of R&B. Aaliyah was the princess, bro. She was that big, man. She was huge.
Insane. Like it was. I mean, I don't know. Do people still do this? I remember all my homegirls were like memorizing all the choreography to Aaliyah songs. Like they'd be in the lunchroom doing the dance, playing the music, doing the dances. You know what I'm saying? Like before school and shit. Or you know what I mean? Or like, bro, like it was. Bro, it was just real. She was just so different. I remember when she passed, it was like, it's not possible.
Yeah, it didn't feel real, bro.
It's not possible. This couldn't have happened. It right. has to be a lie. She's too big, too important. You know what I mean? To everybody. Like, she was cool to the dude. We thought she was bad, but we also thought she was cool.
Right.
Like, niggas want, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, she could be the homie. You feel what I'm saying? Like, she was so different, bro. She was a supernova.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you can repeat that, because the feeling of Aaliyah during that time was, it was so palpable. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. just her existence. Anyway.
Yeah, she was huge.
She Jackson?
Was huge. An icon.
Yep. For sure.
Jackson, do you have a record player?
I do. And so my answer is,
of course, I was just thinking
about my own
yeah.
collection and trying to pull from that to try to answer the question. And I was trying to pick a few from a different era, but the ones that jumped out to me were Nirvana's MTV Unplugged set. I have that one on vinyl, which is really dope.
That's one of my five favorite albums of all time, Jackson.
It's amazing, and it's sick on vinyl, so I would recommend getting that one.
Oh, this was so exciting to me, bro. The last song, which is a cover, and I forget what it is.
It's a Lead Belly cover. Where Were You Last Night?
Song being basically the last fucking thing he sang before he killed himself, bro, right. is like the most heartbreaking, beautiful shit. Like, that was some, like, being 15, like, is humanity, like, are we actually, because my parents did not like people. You know what I mean? I did not grow up in a religious household that was like, the world was meant to put us here. Like, I grew up with parents who were like, unfortunately, people exist. So here's how we have to, like, try and make our way through the world. And hearing that song is one of those moments you're like, is there some sort of divine presence in human beings? Like, I don't know. There might be something to this shit, you know?
The whole album. And that really jumped out in my mind when Tyler was talking about, like, the warm feeling that listening on vinyl gives you. So that one for sure. I was trying to think of ones from different eras. And so Good Kid, Mad City came to mind as well. And then an even more modern one that I feel like could be good. I don't know if you let the kids or if they've watched Guardians of the Galaxy.
But the
Guardians of the Galaxy soundtrack rips. So I have that.
That was their second. So that was their second pick. They rips. Ended up going with Miley Cyrus because Vincent was trying to be nice to his sister, and I said they could only buy one. Basically,
what a real one. What a real.
Is what
one.
Happened. And then Good Kid, Mad City was that was what I ended up picking Dookie over. That was the last CD I bought that had that feeling of like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, oh, I opened it in the Target parking lot. You know what I mean? And like right. put it in the, like, that was the last CD I was that excited about. So
100%.
All right. Shit. Here's to, you
that
know,
was a great question, Mike. Kudos thanks, to you, man. Bro. Wasn't a lot
got
of
so many that cut that. Hell yeah. Got so many.
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
Well, that's what was fun about it for us was like, wow, there's 100 good choices here. Like I have this exact same thought, John. I was like, well, obviously I'm going to get a jazz album. Like number one. And then I was like, damn, I don't know. Like, should it be something like, but it was that you have to pick one because you can't just walk around with every song that's ever been recorded on your smartphone. You have to buy one album.
Also going to record stores. My mind is so much more open than when I'm scrolling through my shit.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like going through record stores, I'll see like, I'll go to any section. You know what I'm saying? And if it looks or feels interesting, fuck it,
there's science behind that.
Yeah,
your brain is doing something different.
Yeah, yeah. And then I'll play shit that I'll never would have played, and I love it. I have some albums that, like, I would have never played, you know what I'm saying, if I just went through Spotify and was scrolling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, I'm weird. I'll be like, I'll try this today. You know what I'm saying? But, like, my mind's so much more open to record stores, and it's such a great feeling. I have a photo of Somi, like, on my shoulders in a record store, and it's like, bro, it's just like the energy of record stores is just so perfect, bro.
Yeah. Next time you're in Long Beach, I'll take you to Fingerprints. We have an all-time great record store in Long Beach. I've seen a ton of great bands there. I saw Cold War Kids there, Tyler, with like 80 people. Yeah.
When we'll travel, we'll stop at a record store. Like, you know what I'm saying? We do it in New Orleans. We did it in Portland when we was there. Like, when we go out of town, we'll stop at a record store just to grab something. Like, record stores are just a special, special place. They feel like libraries to me, but for music. You know what I mean?
There it is. All right.
Recommendations if you are into like early, mid 2000s, like indie rock, but if you like could be your vibe, Mike. The Strokes, This Is It.
Oh,
yes. Also, one of my very favorite albums.
And Broken Bells, self titled Broken Bells album. Amazing.
Okay. I don't know them.
They rock.
All right. There's the Strokes.
I love Strokes. This Is It. Yeah. That shit dropped 9/11/2001. Same day the Blueprint dropped. And I remember, like, I was like, bro, like, you know, I love Blueprint, but I was like, let me download this Strokes. To, I was a broke college kid, did not have money to buy it.
I got that shit
album
off.
Album dropped on 9/11.
Yeah.
Dropped on 9/11.
I forgot the Blueprint dropped on 9/11, dog.
Yeah.
I remember, Ben
Folds was a singer-songwriter. Shar and I like also had an album drop on 9/11. But I remember the Strokes. I'll always remember that came out then because it sounded so different from rock music pre-9/11, which was more like pop punk and like aggressive and stuff. And the Strokes is very like, obviously they didn't record it knowing that it, you know, 9/11 was going to happen. But it sounds like the music you would listen to after it felt like the country was falling apart. You know, I mean, like it's great music, but it's so laid back compared to what had been popular from rock bands prior to that. Bro, you know what I mean?
That motherfucking performance on the guitar on Hard to Explain is one of the most mind blowing performances I've ever heard on that fucking instrument. It is incredible, bro.
For sure.
Yeah, I love that fucking album.
All right, that's all the time we got. We will be back immediately, possibly today, possibly tomorrow with our Love is Blind finale recap. Very excited to check that out and discuss it with the fellas. A lot of good reaction to the to the Mina Kimes recap episode. I love that we're your home for music, basketball, and Love is Blind. That's the Jenkins
and peanut butter and jelly arguments. A real mixed bag over here, Jenkins and Jones.
All right, we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Bye.
The Volume.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of Exo Jackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, ExoJackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at ExoJackie.com. Made for women by women.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.